Welcome to The Fabricator's Edge, cutting through complexity in manufacturing and metalwork. Real talk, smart solutions, and no-nonsense insight from the shop floor to the supply chain.
Okay, let's dive in. Today we're getting into, the nuts and bolts of something really fundamental across loads of industries. Sheet metal fabrication.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it. It's in machinery, it's in transport, building structures. It's kind of everywhere.
It really is. And for anyone involved in getting these parts made, you know, if you're in manufacturing, project management, procurement, there's always this pressure, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. That constant drive to find the lowest upfront price.
Absolutely. You get those quotes back and the cheapest one just jumps out. It feels like the obvious win.
Right. But as the material we've been digging into today shows pretty clearly, that low price tag, it often hides a whole bunch of problems later on.
Exactly. It's that classic tension, isn't it? Prioritizing the lowest initial price versus, you know, the absolute need for quality and reliability you can actually count on.
And tackling that tension is really our mission in this deep dive. We're going to unpack the source material you provided, including some really interesting research from Dutton Engineering. And the aim is to understand the true value of quality in fabrication. Expose those hidden costs of just chasing cheap costs that are often underestimated, by the way.
Right.
And hopefully show you a smarter way to make sourcing decisions. Decisions that genuinely save you pounds, save you time, and frankly, a lot of stress in the long run.
Yeah, this is super relevant for you if your job involves buying, specifying, or managing projects with fabricated metal parts. Get this wrong and you're looking at wasted materials, production lines grinding to a halt.
Missed deadlines.
Total chaos, basically. But get it right, like the research shows, and everything just flows better, saves significant resources too.
We've looked at various reports, company info. Gives us a pretty solid base to talk about these complexities. And just a quick note, we'll be talking in pounds for currency, as that's the context of the sources.
Okay, good point. So stepping back a bit, let's look at this balancing act that procurement folks are always dealing with. Traditionally, it really was almost all about that lowest unit price, wasn't it?
It was. It kind of makes sense. It's the most obvious number. But the sources we looked at really hammer home that successful modern procurement needs a much wider view.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to evaluate suppliers on several critical things.
So it's not just the sticker price. You're talking about quality. Like, does the part actually meet every single spec? The tolerances, the right materials, will it perform?
Exactly. And just as vital is reliability. Can they consistently deliver the right parts on time, you know, every single time?
Mm-hmm.
And the sources are pretty blunt about this. Poor quality isn't just a nuisance. It has real direct costs, rework, scrapping expensive metal, dealing with warranty claims.
Yeah, the headaches add up.
They really do.
Yeah.
And unreliability. That means costly production delays and disruptions for your operations. Your whole system can grind to a halt.
So it's a necessary shift then, away from just what's the cheapest, towards something more strategic.
Definitely. The research suggests the best procurement teams use more sophisticated methods, maybe weighted scoring systems, things that give quality and reliability proper weight alongside cost. It's moving towards what they call value-based procurement.
Value-based, okay.
And that idea naturally leads us to a framework that helps capture that bigger picture. Total cost of ownership, TCO.
Right, TCO. It's a term you hear a lot. Let's really unpack that because it sounds like it's more than just adding a few extra costs to the initial price. How do the sources define it? Break it down for us.
Okay, so TCO is basically looking at all the costs, direct and indirect, linked to a product over its entire life. From buying it to getting rid of it. It forces you to see the whole iceberg, not just the tip.
Makes sense.
The sources lay out the key cost categories, and some of these might surprise you.
Like what? Give us some examples.
Okay, well, you start with the obvious ones. Acquisition costs. That's the part. Price, sure, but also transport, logistics, handling, the admin, time sourcing it, taxes, duties, maybe initial tooling or setup fees.
Right, getting it in the door.
And the sources flag that these acquisition costs can be less predictable. Often higher if you're sourcing from far away, offshore, for instance.
Okay, that's getting it here. What's next in the TCO calculation?
Then you've got operational or usage costs. These kick in once the part is actually in your facility.
Mm-hmm.
Think about installing it, any maintenance needed, and critically, the potential cost of downtime if that part fails or doesn't integrate right.
Downtime. Yeah, that can be huge. And then there are the costs when things actually go wrong with the part itself.
Exactly. Quality or performance costs. This is where it gets really, really interesting and often kind kind of shocking. These are the hidden costs of not buying quality.
Hidden costs, like
reworking faulty parts, paying labor again, scrapping material, just throwing money away, handling warranty claims and returns, needing extra inspection time just to catch the bad ones, and those crippling production delays because a component failed.
Okay, that sounds expensive.
It is. And the sources highlight something massive here. The cost of poor quality, or COPQ, it can be genuinely enormous. We're talking maybe 15, 20% of sales revenue.
Wow.
And in some bad cases, it can apparently soar as high as 40%.
40% just from poor quality components messing things up. That's staggering. You definitely don't see that number on the initial quote.
Not even close.
It's buried deep in your operational costs. And on top of that, you have inventory costs, storing parts, insurance, handling them, the risk they become obsolete before you use them.
Right.
The sources explain that longer, less reliable lead times, often linked to chasing that cheapest price, force you to hold bigger buffer stocks. That ties up cash and warehouse space.
And there are costs even at the very end?
Yep. End-of-life costs, disposal, recycling, and then the really subtle ones, indirect costs.
Oh.
Things like the management time spent sorting out supplier problems, yeah. IP risks, the cost if a cheap supplier suddenly goes bust.
Oh, yeah. Supplier stability.
Or even the opportunity cost of lost sales because you couldn't deliver your product due to their failure.
Okay, when you list it all out like that, acquisition, operation, quality, inventory, end of life, indirect, it paints a much, much bigger picture than just the price per part.
Absolutely. And the research really stresses that calculating TCO properly needs teamwork. It needs data from across your company, procurement, production, finance, quality, all talking to each other. It's about making a truly informed, strategic call.
Which brings us neatly back to why just focusing on that low upfront price can end up costing you so much more. Choosing the cheapest supplier isn't just cheaper, it's a major risk. It can send your actual TCO through the roof.
Precisely. It's a false economy.
So let's really drill down into those specific hidden costs and risks the sources mention when you prioritize cheap. What actually happens when the quality is bad?
Okay, the most immediate hit is rework and scrap. Parts aren't right, you pay labor again to fix them, or you just bin them. Pure waste.
Right. Material and time down the drain.
And if you find these bad parts on your production line, that means production delays. Your whole line might stop. That could be thousands of pounds per hour just vanishing.
And presumably, you then feel you have to spend more time and money on increased inspection, right? Just trying to filter out the bad stuff before it causes chaos.
Exactly. You're using your valuable resources just to compensate for their failures. And if bad parts do slip through into your final product, then you face warranty claims and returns, unhappy customers, expensive logistics, getting parts back, repair time, replacements.
It damages your reputation too, not just your wallet.
Absolutely. Loss of trust is hard to quantify, but very real. So yeah, poor quality is seriously expensive.
Okay. What about the other side of the coin, unreliability? What are the costs when a cheap supplier just isn't dependable?
Reliability is just as crucial. Delivery delays are a massive one. If the parts aren't there when planned, your production schedule is shot. It can halt operations just as effectively as bad quality, especially painful with long lead times where a delay could mean weeks.
And when that happens, you're probably scrambling, paying expediting costs, right? Yeah. Premium freight, just to try and claw back time.
It's exactly. Throwing good money after bad, essentially. And because you just can't trust their delivery promises, you end up holding increased inventory, tying up loads of capital, loads of space, just as a buffer against their inconsistency.
That sounds inefficient.
Hugely. The sources also mention the risk of major supply chain disruptions. What if that key cheap supplier turns out to be unstable? Financial problems, maybe geopolitical issues. Suddenly your supply vanishes.
Big risk.
And all of this, the rework, the delays, the expediting, the extra stock, the firefighting, it adds up to a huge amount of management overhead. Your team is spending time fixing their problems instead of improving your business.
Yeah, chasing suppliers, dealing with issues. That's time not spent on value-add activities.
Totally. And the research we look at is really emphatic about this. These hidden costs, especially when sourcing offshore just for price, they're often seriously underestimated. Easily 15, 25%, maybe even more. On top of that initial quote, that's the hidden chunk of the iceberg.
Okay, so if chasing cheap is such a bad idea, how do the smart procurement teams operate? How do they evaluate suppliers to find partners who offer genuine long-term value, not just a low initial number? What are they looking for?
Well, the sources give a pretty good checklist of what points towards a value-driven partner. Mm. On the quality assurance side, you need to see solid systems. Look for certifications. ISO 9001 is kind of the baseline for quality management, but also industry-specific ones, like EN15085 for rail welding or ISO 1090 for structural steel, if that's relevant. These show they're committed to recognize standards and processes.
Right. It's not just them saying they're good. It's verified. What about their internal processes?
Yeah. You need to dig into their internal quality control. How do they check incoming materials? What inspections happen during production? Do they do final testing? And crucially, can they provide proper documentation, like certificates of conformance, proof?
And metrics. Are there numbers you can look at?
Absolutely. Performance metrics are key. Do they track defect rates, often measured in PPM parts per million? How many duds per million? Best-in-class suppliers boast really low external PPM figures.
Lower the better, obviously.
Definitely. Their return rate, RMA rate, is another good indicator. And critically, can they consistently hit the tolerances your parts need? Dimensional accuracy is often non-negotiable.
Okay, so that's ensuring the part is made right.
So,
what about getting it to you reliably? What are the key indicators there?
That falls under reliability and responsiveness. On-time delivery, OTD, is a huge KPI. A supplier consistently hitting, say, 98% or more, that signals a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm. Consistent.
Their lead time isn't just about the number of weeks, but its consistency. Is it predictable? Shorter, reliable lead times give you much more agility in your own planning.
Makes sense. What else?
You need to look at their capacity and scalability. Can they handle your current volumes? And just as important, can they scale up if your demand grows? You don't want to outgrow your supplier.
Good point.
And something often overlooked but vital, communication and customer service. Are they responsive? Do they proactively tell you if there might be an issue? Are they easy to collaborate with? And for the long haul, check their financial stability. You need them to be around for the long term.
Right. You don't want them disappearing mid-contract.
Exactly. And finally, you need to evaluate their actual capabilities and expertise. Do they have the specific technical skills needed for your parts? Do they invest in modern equipment and technology, advanced lasers, automated press brakes, robotic?
Technology matters.
It really does. Can they offer design support, like design for manufacturing, DFM? Helping you optimize your designs before you hit production saves a ton of hassle and cost later. And what's their experience? Have they worked in your industry, done similar complex projects?
Okay, that's a really comprehensive list. It goes way beyond just looking at the price on a spreadsheet. How do buyers actually gather all that info?
The sources mention things like detailed questionnaires, supplier audits, site visits, actually going to see their operation checking references.
Talking to their other customers.
Precisely. And often, they'll use tools like weighted scoring matrices to try and objectively compare different suppliers across all these factors, not just price.
Right, giving points for quality, reliability, capability.
Exactly. Which leads us to the real payoff. The value proposition you get when you choose a genuinely high-quality fabrication partner. It's more than just a transaction. It's an investment. They become like an extension of your own team.
Okay, so how does that translate into real, tangible benefits for the buyer's business?
Well, first and foremost, you get superior and consistent quality. They have the systems, the skills, the tech to get it right reliably. That means the parts you receive work, leading to dependable end products for your customers. Less hassle all around.
And as we've hammered home, that consistent quality directly slashes your total cost of ownership. You avoid all those nasty hidden costs, the rework, scrap, extra inspections, delays.
Exactly. Just smooths everything out. Which leads to the next benefit. Enhanced efficiency and productivity in your own operations. Good parts arriving on time means your production lines hum along nicely. Less downtime, fewer interruptions.
That sounds crucial, especially in some sectors.
The sources mentioned food processing as an example, where reliability is absolutely critical for safety and throughput. You can't afford hiccups.
Right. What else does a quality partner bring?
You often gain access to expertise and innovation. Good suppliers frequently offer that DFM support we mentioned. They might suggest ways to tweak your design to make it easier to make, use less material, or simplify assembly downstream. That can give you a real competitive edge.
So they're contributing ideas, not just taking orders.
Precisely. And maybe most importantly, it builds stronger collaborative relationships. It's not just about placing POs. Mm. It's about trust, transparency, good communication, a partner who works with you to solve problems, anticipates issues.
Right.
That's invaluable, especially on complex jobs.
The material from Dutton Engineering actually gives some really good concrete examples of what this looks like, doesn't it?
It does. Like, they mentioned their ability to deliver zero defect parts allows some clients to basically scrap their own incoming QA checks. Imagine that.
That's a direct cost saving right there. Totally invisible on the initial quote.
Huge. And things like their certified welding to specific standards, like ISO 1090. That enables their clients to get CE marking, which is often a legal must-have to even sell their product.
So the supplier's quality directly enables the client's market access.
Exactly. Or their investment in 247 operations that translates into reliable lead times, the ability to handle urgent requests, things you just wouldn't get from a basic low-cost setup.
They also talked about integrated CAD to fab workflows, didn't they? Catching design errors early.
Yeah, preventing expensive mistakes before metal gets cut. Proactive communication, keeping you in the loop instead of you having to chase them. A total quality management philosophy for long-term consistency.
And material traceability. That sounds important.
Oh, critical. Especially in regulated sectors like food, pharma, construction. Knowing exactly where every bit of material came from, with full documentation, that's essential for compliance. A quality partner provides that.
And I act as a problem-solving partner, too, helping redesign things.
Right. Helping clients make parts more manufacturable, maybe more cost-effective, without sacrificing quality. And finally, their track record mentioning big projects like Heathrow T5. That proves they can handle complex, high-stakes work reliably.
So all these examples really drive home how a quality partner actively lowers your total cost and manages your risk, way beyond just the initial price.
That's the essence of it.
Now, one specific thing that often distinguishes these quality partners, and which the source is highlighted, is their use of automation.
Yes, absolutely. Investing in automation is a really strong indicator that a supplier is serious about both quality and efficiency. It directly boosts their value proposition.
So how does automation specifically help in sheet metal fabrication in a way that benefits me, the buyer?
Well, automation things, automated laser cutters, bending machines, robotic welding, brings incredible precision and consistency. Machines just nail repetitive tasks with an accuracy humans can't match over long shifts. Fewer errors, parts are right every time.
Okay, consistency is key. What else?
That precision drives increased efficiency and speed. Automated systems run faster, often 247 without breaks.
Mm-hmm.
That means higher throughput, shorter lead times for you, and more predictable deliveries.
Faster turnaround is always good. Does it impact cost?
Yes, it contributes to cost reduction, though maybe not always directly visible in the initial quote. Long term, automation cuts down on manual labor needs, optimizes material use so there's less waste.
Mm-hmm.
It can even lower energy bills. The sources mention modern fiber lasers being way more efficient than older CO2 types. And fewer errors mean less costly rework. It all adds up to greater value.
So seeing that a supplier has invested significantly in modern automation is actually a really good sign. It tells you they're focused on quality, efficiency, and delivering that long-term value.
Absolutely. It's a tangible sign of commitment. It shows they're building the capability to deliver the consistent performance that ultimately lowers your TCO.
Okay. So let's try and pull all this together then. What's the main essential takeaway from this whole deep dive into sourcing sheet metal fabrication?
I think the fundamental point is that choosing who makes your sheet metal parts, it's a really critical strategic decision. And basing that decision only on finding the lowest initial price, that's almost certainly going to hurt you in the long run.
Right. That cheap price looks tempting, but it's deceptive. It hides all these potential costs. Poor quality, unreliability, wasted time, stress.
Exactly. The total cost of ownership, the TCO approach, is really the only sensible strategic way to evaluate suppliers properly. It forces you to look at the complete picture, all the costs involved, not just the purchase price.
And when you choose partners based on value, you know, the ones who demonstrate consistent quality, reliable delivery, who bring expertise and actually collaborate with you, you're making an investment that pays back significantly over time.
That's it. These kinds of partnerships lead to genuinely lower TCO because you avoid those hidden costs. You get better efficiency in your own operations, higher quality end products, a more resilient supply chain.
Resilience is huge these days.
Absolutely. And ultimately, it gives you a stronger competitive position. It's not just a purchasing decision. It's fundamental to sustainable success in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. So the real value, the true value in sheet metal fabrication sourcing, it really lies beyond that initial price tag. It's about the partnership, the consistency, the total cost and benefit over the life of that part.
Well said. And if you listening want to explore this further, maybe dig into some of the research points we touched on, you can find more information by visiting dutton-eng.co.uk.
Great. And just as a final thought to leave you with, as you think about your own operations, your own sourcing, have you really accounted for all those potential hidden costs? You know, the unexpected rework, the production hiccups, the extra management time spent firefighting. Could those be impacting your bottom line right now? Maybe more than you realize?
And if so, what could a strategic shift focusing more deliberately on value, on TCO, rather than just the initial price unlock for your specific business? Could it mean significant long-term savings, better resilience? Definitely something worth considering.
Thanks for tuning into The Fabricator's Edge. For more insights and to see what we're building, visit us at dutton-eng.co.uk. Until next time, keep it precise.